So hello to everybody, and Rinpoche has the wish that by the development of the progressive meditation related to absolute truth or reality, everybody may be able to cut through the root of his worldly existence, and by the progressive development of meditation related to the way how things appear, relative truth, everybody may be able to put an end to his attachment, to abide just in peaceful state for himself. Thus, by the unification of those two, progressive meditation, everybody may be able to benefit limitless sentient beings in the end.
So now
we're doing some what is called meaning meditation or reciting meditation of the little text that we have been presented in the last days, called the heart of what is the definitive meaning or substantial essence of the definitive meaning. I bow down in deep respect before the Supreme Teacher Shakyamuni and the
Simdhamma.
Oh. Please give rise to the noble motivation of bodhicitta for the sake of all sentient beings.
Tam kazang tu tren kilin re jabate de ta chu tam je ke ne lo pyo pa tan da ba yin na tu ra yin na de ne lam sang tu ra ma den ba de ren ba mang bu ye go bi jin chen kar re ti te ba ni sa.
So there's a question following now, or several questions. But the first question is, when the final result of all this analysis is that actually nature or reality is beyond any concept, it's free of any concept, simplicity. So what's then the need for presenting it in the truth in the progressive order of such complication and having to go through all the different various types of views and not just straight away? Why wouldn't one straight away point out nature as being beyond concept? So the verse saying here, as an answer to that question, the clinging to existence or non-existence of concepts, which are like a monkey, unless unless that clinging is gradually stopped, it will be very difficult to stop it in one time. So the idea behind this that permanently in our everyday life, mind or our concepts are in a state that we either cling to something as being existent or non-existent, but in such a variety of different ways that it could be compared to a monkey. So when you try to close that one hand here, then the monkey will jump around and the other, and you close there, then it goes in the other way. So same way when you try to prove that it couldn't be existent, then you will cling to non-existence. Do you prove that it can't be non-existent, then you cling to an existence. So it is going back and forth and can't stay, like the monkey, it can't stay in one place. And so the concepts always try to cling to something. That's the way of conceptual the mind functions. And all those various elaborations of mind, that's what this term Drupa actually means, that is like an unnecessary elaboration, clinging to either existence or non-existence, that has to be gradually pacified. Gradually all this tendency has to come to an end, to cling to existence or non-existence. And this is done by applying a progressive order of meditation. It means like progressively, slowly one gets used to what reality is. The first step of this we had the other day was to overcome the wrong assumption that a person, a personal entity or an individual entity of a person exists. So this is a kind of rough understanding. So cutting through this rough misunderstanding, one could proceed to the next step, which is to assume outer objects as existent. This is the approach of citta-matra, or mind only. And here again one overcomes clinging to existence and non-existence in a certain way. And then one proceeds to a more subtle point, and this is presented as the meditation of emptiness in the way of Svatantrika Madhyamaka, that one sees everything as empty, like being there's nothing really substantially existent, nothing at all, and one familiarizes oneself to that truth by considering everything to be like empty space. And then to overcome again the clinging to that emptiness as something really existent, one has to reach the point of simplicity, which then finally drops all kinds of concepts, all elaborations come to an end. And still there might be very subtle clinging to simplicity, to that freedom of elaboration, and this will be overcome by showing the meditative approach to the luminosity of mind. So unless going through this progressive order, it will be very, very difficult just in one time to cease all elaborations of conceptual mind.
Yodane vajra bhaye mandoy devo taute vedje deva magana cheja deva bhava.
Concepts fixating on existence and non-existence are just like monkeys. If one doesn't stop thinking gradually, it is too difficult to stop it at once. Concepts fixating on existence and non-existence are just like monkeys. If one doesn't stop. Rang So we come to the next question and answer. The question here is why at the stage by of explaining Chittamatra, its mind-only view, one talks about that self-awareness, and then in the explanation of that type of Madhyamaka that is called Shentong, or being empty of other, again one uses the term of self-aware primordial wisdom. So in both cases there is a self-awareness. What is the difference between those? And the answer is that the self-awareness of the Chittamatra, it's the follower of the Chittamatra system, is the self-sensation of one's feeling of happiness and suffering, whereas the whereas the awareness of the Madhyamaka that is free from empty of other is primordial, is individual primordial self-aware wisdom. So that means that when in the Chittamatra system of thought one talks about self-awareness, this term is used to characterize a state of awareness that is different from being aware of something else, but some objects, and it is something that refers to the mere awareness, like sheer awareness, that is that has the characteristic of clarity. It's a clear, aware consciousness, and the reason why to assert that type of mental state of clear, aware consciousness, just mere or sheer awareness, is that we have the feeling or clear sensation of happiness and suffering, which we for knowing this we don't need to have any other reference point. We don't need to have anybody telling us that we have suffering now or that we have happiness, and this feeling, we have certainty about feeling like joy or feeling suffering or pain. We have that certainty just by ourselves. So it is a self-sensation that doesn't have to rely on any other resource or reference. For that reason one talks about the self-awareness, which is that mere being clear self-aware state. Whereas then in the Madhyamaka Shentong, that being empty of other approach, here one talks about primordial wisdom, individual primordial wisdom that is self-aware. And this term is used to characterize wisdom that knows the nature of one's own mind in a way that it transcends the notion of a knower and something to be known. So there is no subject and object involved in any way, and it is becoming aware of one, the very nature, the natural state of mind. So that's why here one uses primordial, individual, self-aware, primordial wisdom.
Then door dono semtam parane ke nam ki geranyo re yendong kar re pate ye ki geranyo re se na yani dege sar sambhay.
So if one were to summarize this again more, one could say that this self-awareness of the Chittamatra system, the mind-only system, is the self-awareness of perceiving consciousness, whereas the self-awareness in the Madhyamaka, empty of other, is primordial wisdom that is self-aware.
Tāna sambandhi ānā ome lōla semjāṁ semjāṁ pa lōla chūtāṁ je semjāṁ yīmbatāṁ ome lōla chūtāṁ je tōngpa nīna tēne ngā tsō sēntē ngūne dēmbā trūpā rāvā yīmbatāṁ nāgā tēn kyabā tēsō ngūne dēmbā trūpā rāvā tē kāngsēn nē kāngsēn sōng rē sē nā Titabare, Tabatili, send the Demba Drupatam, Kega Ganan Chaban, then drop it. Namkin Trupan Morinji, Yanda is a woman. Send the Nama Zugda Taru is a Nama nuts open day, Demba Drupatat Nangado. Send the Nama de Demba in Lagumdo Demba in Bakazan Dawayamado in the young. Macu nam tu ngolak dembat trupan rawu nang tu. Dembat trupan rawu tu yang macu nam tu ke pa dembat resan kering tu. Tapi kering tu gana cewa dendom de. Mana nama ceka nam tu ye nani macu cebu donga tu yang macu nyong caba de. Tanda macu tenggem tu wa. Tapi gana gepa nawan cewa som je som yer eh. Ganan chava denba trupa tabu te karre. Ganan chava dendro te. Sente denba trupa tabu nama tang. Ganan chava dendro tado yoba te. Namkin trupa ngori inje. Namkin trupa ngola denba trupa tado nama re mato. Yanda yiki zengor me. Yanda yiki. Yanda pe yiki je. Sente dendro da ganan chava dendro do zekwa mare. Sanje je yiki je zekwa mare. Papa nam je. Dene. Tuan-tang tope yekhi jiyang zikwa maa. Sun su maa re. Sun tong maa re. Ngātso nāmkhin trupen tong maa re. Malam je nāma dendruk tang, malam je kāpso, kāp je dedok sopa denpa trupa nrāvo te ngātso nāmkhin trupa ka zong maa re maa to yang tape yekhi jiyang o nāma maa re. Pe te kendo, tang de kāpso sende dendruk tang, ganan chava dendruk te nāmkhin trupa ngola nāma re. Te se na, Trupa Sanji Tapara Mato, Yantapa Yiki Jizunur, Teda Dendroma.
So then we come to the third question, which is arising from the explanation of the mind-only system and the Madhyamaka system of emptiness, showing either all appearances of this life, or of our life, to be just our own mental projection, or in case of a Madhyamaka, saying that everything is without substantial nature is mere emptiness. So hearing this explanation, then the question arose that why then this life is so truly existent, and why is the suffering of old age, of sickness and death so truly existent when on the other hand, those people say that it is just mere mind and it's just emptiness. So what then about this type of suffering or this life? The verse says, the real existence or the true existence, valid existence of this life and the valid existence of old age, sickness and death, being merely a mere delusion of perceiving consciousness, it does not exist from the point of view of, or in the eyes of primordial correct wisdom. This is to say, then, our life, the appearances of this life, they might look very true and very truly existent, but how do we know that they're true? It is not in any way that this life's appearance talk to us and say, oh, I'm so true, or that we find little stickers on all the objects, we say like, this is really true. Life doesn't work that way, so there's no indication from the appearances themselves that they are truly existent. It's only our self or mind or concept that assign that true existence to those appearances. The same goes for the suffering of old age, sickness and death. So here are only three mentioned from the basic four types of suffering in the human existence. As you know, there's the suffering of birth, there's the suffering of old age, suffering of sickness and of death. But since the suffering of birth is already already experienced the suffering of birth, we don't remember it so clearly right now, then for that reason here only three are mentioned. So we are still experiencing sickness and old age, and death is waiting for us. So why does this, and including all the appearances of this life, look so true? And the verse he is saying, it is just from the point of view of a confused or deluded state of perceiving consciousness, as opposed to the point of view of primordial wisdom that is undiluted, means it's correct, and being looked at by undiluted, primordial, correct wisdom, the Buddha and all those who have those wisdom have not seen life and this appearance of sickness, all that, to have any true existence.
Tante, Ninja Jever said, Yin Pin Jeva, German Jever, you. Chukun Satan Nanga Chukun Korva than your million deb Chukun Genelo Tongbani, Chukun Genelo Tongbani, Truban Tatam Jedan Tarikin Nelo Truban Tarikin. Nelok de topa kapsu namdo trugan sema kyanaya. Namdo ke truba tamke kyaba yinayang. Rangani. Mato nrola ninje jeva se de tato, mato pa nrova simji namna, mato pa wanka dunga nato nyunga simji na, ninje jeva tiise na, mingmeji ninje jeva tiise na, Then Sanju Samba, Papa Sanju Samba, the Sama Namla, Yimpin, the Jeva, Jim, the Jeba. Kova Jesima, don't go by the Yimpin, the Jeva, Jim, the Jeba.
Next question is, when all the appearances of this life are explained to be empty by nature, having no substantial existence, and how come that it is said that bodhisattvas and buddhas are working constantly for the benefit of others? So how is it possible to perform a benefit for others when no phenomenon including all sentient beings, has any individual substantial existence. So if there are no sentient beings, then how can you benefit? So the answer is, then all phenomena by nature being free of mental elaboration and all the and the characteristics of conceptual elaboration being pacified, nevertheless, for the sake of those, no, for the sake of giving rise to Kiepesir, or the Debatik, because of, sorry, then nevertheless, because of great compassion towards sentient beings who have not realized this, arose the benefit, the activity that benefits others is without any interruption, or will be without any interruption. So bodhisattvas and buddhas have realized that that nature of phenomena is beyond the conceptual elaboration and the any kind of characteristic of objects that arises from this conceptual elaboration is specified. However, there is a compassion, a great compassion that is focused towards all sentient beings that have not realized this truth. This compassion is also called non-referential compassion, since it is based on the reality that is beyond any concepts. And since there is this compassion for all those who have not realized this truth, the benefit for others arises without any interruption.
ยินดงเนเดริฮิญิงบุเดริฮิญิงบุงโอลาโลเวอร์เตเมตงบาตังยิมิตุเปตงเบเซยินดงคินิโยสตะเดซิเกนเดกาซยินดงเมทานิซัมโดบาเลเซมเจเนโลเวซาเดฮิญิงบอรังกงโอลาโงอัมรังยิมเมโลลาโลเวอร์เตเมตงบาตังโลเวอร์ทุเปเตเมตงบาเตงโอลาเตมาเมบาตังโอลาเตมาเมเดเซนะเดเนเตเมตงบา Yemi trupe tongba ser, ngô la treme tongba tang, yang trupe yang tongba re. Dekhi nyingbo te, ne lo ngoma te, yoba yang ma re, meba yang ma re, nika ma yinba yin chiga ma re. Do na dekhi nyingbo ranga ngô la tanyi je trupe yo ma re, tanyi len deba tang, tanyi je trupe tongba re. Nelok Tani to Tube Tongba Tisano, Mola Lord to Me Tongba Tang Tani to Tube Tongba Tongba Sena, yendong xin yong se zha. Yung xin de tabu le ting de, dene yendong xin yong se zha. Yendong ge tanyin zong wale, yendong xin yong se zha. Hana yendong si, danda lover teme, yin lover teme tong ba de, yin tupe tong ba le ya na, ngu mudong ba rebe se na, Nel dekhi nyingbo ranga ngubu nguma te tong mu tong ji tanyi tamche len de ba le. Tong mu tong ki tupa ta tanyi tamche len de ba yi. Tang. Kunzo to dekhi nyingbo la teni duandang chuku yun di lundup de yo ba yang ki ba le.
Ni la de kan ngubu.
Ha. Ngubu ranga se. Dekhi nyingbo ranga ngô la, tema mepa te ngô la tema mepa, ngô am rangin la se.
So far this has been an explanation of emptiness in Madhyamaka, in the sense of explaining all phenomena to be empty of a substantial entity. So now there's a little further explanation about what is called emptiness of other, another part of Madhyamaka tradition. The verse gives a kind of short, brief definition of what is this empty of other Madhyamaka, saying that the Buddha potential. That the essence of the Buddha potential is empty of temporary stains and empty of elaborations concerning existence and non-existence. For that reason, it is widely known as empty of other. So the main point of it is here the nature of mind or the Buddha potential, Buddha nature. And it is said that Buddha nature in its essence is empty of any obscuration and covering temporary stain. So this is one part of that emptiness, explaining empty of other. So from the very beginning it is pure and is empty of those stains. And if one then wonders, what about the essence of the Buddha nature, of Buddha potential, is that they're not empty? And here the explanation is given that the essence of Buddha nature transcends the notion of empty or not empty, or existence and not existence. So it is empty of any kind of mental elaborations. And in relative terms it is also said to be endowed with the spontaneous qualities of the Buddha. So for this reason then it is called the empty of other, this Buddha nature being empty of something that is not inherent to its nature, the adventitious of temporary stains, like the last line of this verse here mentions, being well known as empty of other.
Tene chetan yendong la dolok yendong da ngalok yendong ni re dolok yendong te yong mang de yo na yang zo wo te te ka chen bu ju la ma ten ju zo wo re do te le ya te ka chen bu ju la ma la dor ji ne dun ji na ni dor ji ne ye ba te ta de chi ni bu ten ba te le ya jun chen so m jen dor ten ba nam ja ju ye ba ri che ba te me te pe so pe go ni ten ba re. indicate and communicate and Jacoban to kill a joy over it. Yana to kill a yore. Then a joy lamante dolo, you don't joy lamalo to only your soap. My look again don't day, not lamicia than shepherd the tenny tujon colo combined.
Lami. So, where in the explanation of the. of this empty of other approach, one has to distinguish between empty of other Madhyamaka in the sense of Sutrayana or causal vehicles, and then we have empty of other Madhyamaka in the Mantrayana system or vehicle. So to explain the first one, the explanation of empty of other approach in the Sutrayana is mainly based on one treatise which is known as the changeless nature or Dulama in Tibetan, Mahayana Uttara Tantra Shastra, the teaching of Maitreya to Asanga explaining the Buddha nature, Buddha potential and all such beings. This text is presented in seven sections called the seven Vajra points, where the fourth point explains about the element, the basic element of Buddha potential. And this Buddha potential is in an excellent way explained first in 3 points, and there is given a brief layout, then in 10 points a more detailed explanation, and then the very famous 9 examples to show how Buddha nature exists in all sentient beings. This text has been translated in many different languages, so you might know about this teaching. This is the explanation of Sutrayana Buddha potential, and in that way giving us also the idea about this empty of other Madhyamaka from the Sutrayana point of view. Mantrayana, empty of other Madhyamaka, is based on the Anuttara Yoga Tantra, the highest, the unsurpassable Tantra, in particular on the teaching of the Kala Chakra Tantra.
Tene kunjin torpo sanjiam torpo pa kirab jamsin ji song rechu ni don jam so le tikpa kim bi ji lam long so doi long hajang mangbo tan tu jamban sen ju tan tu jung kholo la so ba ji ji long dan tene long hajang mangbo gong de ji song yo ta ba yin de song yo ten da wo ju ma yang lo jung si to na yin dong je par Yendong la Jepar Lobjong Se Dorpa Ham Resan Dorpa Chu Ne Reching Yidong Jam To Lobjong Se Na Yang Yaku Yipari
Richu Se
Dwa Richu Richu Reching Yidong Jam To Tenda Wo Pohla Richu Se Mangbo Yare So Varela Nyam Ni So Yare Se Tronche La So Yama Ni Se Vanda
Die kann Richard selber, die in der Locke in die Koran da zu Burila die Chance.
Ram, Retul, in der Nähe, ja, die Chürise.
Und den Dolbo dann Hirab Jansen selber.
Dolbo, Sanji, Am, Hirab Jansen. Stipper.
So, then there's one treatise in Tibet by someone who's known or famous as the all knowing. Buddha from Dolpo, or is also called Shirab Jalsen, the banner of intelligence from Dolpo, and he has left one main work, one which is called the Ocean of Definitive Meaning to be practiced in mountain solitude. This I asked about this title, so I can explain it first, and then in which he says this, many treatises like this in Tibet called like something to be practiced in mountain solitude. indicating that this type of teaching is not something what one is discussing down in the cities and valleys, but is something to an individual can integrate in his understanding while being in meditation process in mountain solitude. So in this text, which is actually a very voluminous text, lots of quotations are given from sutra and from tantra, taken from the Mahayana Uttara Tantra Shastra and from the sutra and a point of view and other texts, as well as from the unsurpassable tantra and so on. And in the future, Rinpoche says, maybe it would be possible and would also be very good, very fortunate, if we could have access to that type of teaching as being presented in the treatise of Dorpa Sanji. So there is a question related to this. It comes from asking oneself, then, how is it possible to reach, after all, this absolute reality, that stage of unsurpassable Buddhahood that is said to be neither abiding in worldly existence nor in mere peaceful eternity for oneself? How can we actually reach this state? And the answer is given here in this verse, pointing out that it is the Mahayana, the great vehicle, who, from among the three possible vehicles of Shravakayana, Pratyeka Buddhayana, and Mahayana, that it is the Mahayana, the great vehicle, that makes it possible to obtain enlightenment. And the verse says, But through enlightening mind related to genuine reality, the root of worldly existence cut through enlightening mind related to the all deceptive appearance, the extreme or dead end of mere peaceful abiding, from this one is liberated, and the enlightenment that does not abide in either the extreme of worldly existence nor peaceful abiding, peaceful rest, is obtained. For that reason, the great vehicle, or Mahayana, is indeed wondrous. So it's a very amazing and wondrous that one is able to achieve through this great vehicle that state of unsurpassable Buddhahood that does not remain in any of those extremes, by applying the two types of enlightening attitude. And Rinpoche explained this, saying that here the absolute bodhicitta is that one that enables us to understand genuine reality, and this cutting through one's mental delusion will set an end to the worldly existence of samsara. And on the other hand, the relative bodhicitta, that enlightening mind that is oriented towards the way of how things appear in a relative, all deceptive way, then is able to liberate us from the tendency or attachment to have just to want mere peace for oneself. And avoiding those two extremes, then one will reach the unsurpassable Buddhahood.
Come
to the dedication. Here's a verse saying, by the power of meditating or getting used to what is explained as the gradual approach of emptiness, the absolute or genuine reality which cuts through the root of worldly existence, may myself and limitless all sentient beings obtain the complete enlightenment. What cuts through the root of worldly existence or samsara is the understanding of emptiness, of genuine reality, and this first has been explained as the progressive order of meditation, and oneself then getting used to it, familiarizing oneself. So there's a concluding line which is just giving the background of how these verses came together, and for those who study Tibetan here, then it's like saying that in one part of the this has been given in one part of America, in the city which is called Lexington, and is by the one who is called by name Kenpo Dzogchen Jamso. At the time when he explained the progressive meditation approach of emptiness, it has been spontaneously or without any preparation has been given those verses. This is what it is meant by this expression torsung. It's not something that is properly arranged, but just kind of set by the way. And anyway, therefore, generally one talks about progressive meditation of emptiness in five steps. Here only four are presented. This means that in the Rangtong section, Madhyamaka, that is explaining emptiness of phenomena in the sense of being empty of themselves. Here the Svatantrika and the Prasangika approach have been summarized and included in one section. So there is actually nothing missing, it's just like giving a more brief outline. And in that way, the verses here, in fact, describe or point out the key points of what is the approach, the meditation approach, on the approach of progressive understanding of viewpoint in relation to emptiness. So Ramji had previously then made those verses in a way that they are easy to understand, and he recommends that we should read those verses again and again to facilitate our understanding of emptiness. Tomorrow, Rinpoche wants to present us from the Thakurtajin, the jewel ornament of liberation. First of all, we give long of also the scriptural authorization to read this text, and then the chapter concerning loving kindness and since the chapter in between about impermanence he will skip. He says this we are probably familiar with enough. So we'll just point out the main essence of loving kindness and compassion.